Thanks, Jordan. I wonder if that was a one take for you or not. That was a lot of announcements. We have a little joke around here as to how long it takes, how many takes it takes you to do the plugs. And I'm not going to lie, some of those that usually stand up here on Sunday morning may not be as good at some of the others. I'm just gonna say that. My name is Melinda Reed, and I oversee spiritual growth here at High Point, and am privileged to step in for Kevin today and give him a day off as we continue our study in Matthew. It's just a joy to me to be able to teach God's word. It's something I'm very passionate about, especially about what we're going to be talking about today. For some of you that know me, if you don't know me or if you do, I enjoy sports. If you've ever heard me speak, you've heard me talk about the Sounders. I'm a huge soccer fan. I'm also a big football fan. I enjoy tennis. Football was special to me because the only thing that I shared with my dad was football. That's kind of dramatic. The most emphasized thing I had with my dad was football. He taught me about the game. He was very patient with me and all my questions when I was growing up, and it was just a very special time for me. So I just really enjoy sports, and I was thinking about this message about persistent prayer, and I was thinking about the persistence in football, and especially in the running backs. And I wonder if I just threw out there, who would you say was like one of the best running backs of all time? Say it. You don't know any running backs? This is... Okay, Barry Sanders. Thank you for starting it. I have a Barry Sanders. Anybody else? O.J. Simpson on the field, not so much in life. Who else? Emmitt Smith. Thank you. They didn't get it in the first service. There's lots of good ones, right? Nobody said Marshawn. I'm a little disappointed in that. I don't know that he would be the greatest of all time, but you can argue about that. But it's hard to argue with the statistics of Emmitt Smith, who spent most of his career playing for the Dallas Cowboys, which, by the way, that's who I learned football from, was watching the Cowboys. Don't judge me. I've come to the other side now. I've left that behind. But he was amazing, and his statistics show it. In his career, he rushed for 18,355 yards. That's a long way. That's 10.5 miles of rushing yards. But here's the deal. It took him 15 years to run 10.5 miles. Now, I'm not a runner. I'm not even a jogger. I get steps in because it tells me on my watch. But I'm telling you, I could do 10.5 yards or that many yards in 10 years. But there's one difference between you and I jogging or running or walking around every day. We don't have 11 huge dudes trying to take us out every single time. That would be the big difference. And I guarantee you that I wouldn't make it one time. It would take one time. So I wonder, I did the math on that. Like, that seems like a lot of perseverance, because here's the deal. His average carry was 4.2 yards. So when you divide that by how long he ran and how many yards he ran, he was tackled 4,409 times. I mean, think about that. 4,400 plus times. He's not just like, you know, tipped over to the ground. We know how it works. I mean, he's taken down. And all but a few times when he had an injury or he was really tired and needed a couple extra seconds on the ground, what did he do? After he got hit and fell down, what did he do? He got back up, went back to the huddle, all to do it all over again. That kind of seems like insanity, but some would call it perseverance. It would call it stamina, tenacity. And I wonder, how many times would you get up? How many times would you keep going? Now, prayer isn't football, even though if you're a Seahawks fan, prayer is usually involved in football. But it does have some similarities. The same tenacity, the same perseverance that he had to have every time he got up just to get ran over again, it took perseverance. And it does have a place in prayer, and that's really what we're going to talk about today. We're going to continue in Matthew, Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount that goes from chapters 5 to 7. This is like the most famous sermon of Jesus, and we've been talking about it. And if you remember, just a little while ago, Kevin talked in chapter 6 about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, kind of gave us how to pray. And then again, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there's only a few verses left, he brings prayer up again. And I think it's more of an application kind of a so what of prayer. And I want us to take a look at that today. So if you've got your Bibles, if you'll turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew's the first chapter in the New Testament. If you have your smartphone, you can pull it up there. Bob's also going to pop it up on the screen here. But we're going to read chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Read with me. Keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What man among you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to you, to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same to them. This is the law of the prophets. Some of your versions, depending on what version of your Bible, it might say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. We just read, keep asking, keep seeking. In the original language in Greek here, there's two imperatives of this word, and one of them is like a single action, and one is a continual. And that's the one that's used here. That's why this translation says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's a continual motion. And this phrase, the way it's written, it challenges us to earnestly, diligently, with perseverance, pray. A promise and a reward for all of those, and that's what we're going to look at today. Kind of the main idea is that our persistent prayers, they produce earthly and kingdom rewards that we're going to talk about. But all the while, they stretch our faith and they grow us more as disciples, make us look more Christ-like. Jesus is not promising that all our prayers will be answered in the way that we ask them. He's not promising us that they will be answered in the time that we ask them. But he's saying, he's inviting us to persevere, to be persistent. And what exactly does that look like? Well, if you came in today and you are a Christ follower, hopefully you do pray. If you came in today and you're just checking it out, you're watching online, prayer is just our conversation with God. It's just how we talk to God. And I hope that in the midst of this sermon, you might get an idea of what God is like. But even if you don't pray, you have some challenge going on right now, something that's stirring in your heart. And so I invite you to kind of frame this message with what is heavy on your heart that you're praying for today. Maybe it's a job provision. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's a healing of a broken relationship, freedom from addiction, financial freedom and recovery. Maybe it's physical healing or a career direction, or maybe it's a spouse that you're praying for. Maybe it's that you would like to have a child. Whatever it is, I invite you to frame this message with those thoughts, those prayers, and what God might want us to do with that. And I just want you to open your mind to what the message might bring in that. And I just want us to jump in with verse 7, where it says, keep asking. So remember, we're going to talk about the rewards. And the first one is, receiving is the reward of asking, both tangibly and intangibly. Receiving is the reward. Our Heavenly Father loves to give gifts. The book of James tells us that He is the Father, the author of every good and perfect gift. Now, I wonder who of you in here like to give gifts? Who likes to get gifts? Yeah, we all like to do that. I love to give gifts. I mean, I like it better than getting gifts, and some might say, my husband's not here this service, but some might say I have a problem with giving gifts, and especially since I've had grandchildren. I don't know, there's just something. I want to give them everything they want. Because I didn't give their parents that, I want to give it to them. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants our kids to succeed like we do. He wants us to have financial freedom. He wants us to experience healing. He is a good and perfect Father, just like we love to give gifts. You know, last year, you've probably heard me talk about this before. My oldest grandson, Reed, is a huge Sounders fan. I have no idea how he likes it or anything or where it came from, but he's just this huge fan. And he has lots of jerseys and stuff, and he goes to the games. And last year, he was saying that he really wanted a keeper's jersey, which that, if you don't know soccer, it's the keeper, the goalie stands, and he usually has like a long sleeve jersey, has like little patches on it. They're just different. And he's like, Mimi, I want a keeper's jersey. I was like, I looked everywhere for them. I mean, he was three at the time. They didn't make them that small. But I'm determined because remember, he asked for it, and I want to give it to him. So I look on the MLS website, I look on the Sounders site, nobody has it. So I get creative, and I find this Adidas jersey, just a kid jersey, that actually is a keeper's jersey, has like the patches on it. I went and had a friend put his name on the back and his dad's number. I mean, this is a gift that took a year to make, okay? I was so excited for Christmas morning for him to see it because I wanted to give him this gift. Now, the thing is, when he asked for the gift, he was three, okay? And now he's four, and I mean, you can take a guess if he remembered that he wanted that gift. He was still very excited. Of course, I brought a picture because I knew you would want to see. But here's Reed on Christmas morning with his jersey and his goalie gloves. And I got a picture of the back because you get to see that that was his daddy's number. So he was so excited. And I share that, one, because I love to show him off, but mostly because that is how God, our Heavenly Father, that's how he loves us. We often think of him being far off and kind of a God that hoards all the good things and makes you work really hard to get them. But he really wants to give. He wants to lavish us. He wants to love us. But you might say, okay, Melinda, I've been asking, and I don't feel like I've received an answer. Because you see, it doesn't always come like that. It doesn't always come in a tangible way. It certainly doesn't always come in the time that we think. Our finite minds can't fully grasp the knowledge and the power and the purpose that God has for us. And we try to put our finite thinking into his. Just like Reed took his ask of me and put it in his three-year-old mind that it needed to happen the next day. But I was thinking like this. John 15:7 gives us an idea of how we can reconcile that. How can we do it? Well, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done. We tend to skip to the last part. Ask whatever we want and it will be done. But he said, remain in me. Ask, remain in me. Do your prayers this morning, or the things that are going on, do they seem unsettled? Do they seem unanswered? God is working in ways that you can't see, that I can't see. And he's inviting us to keep asking. Remember, it's keep asking, not just one time. We must remain in prayer. Maybe we receive the answer just as we prayed and maybe in the time that we hoped, but maybe we don't. But we keep on asking. And he goes on to say that it's not just about asking, but to keep seeking. So the second thing, the reward, remember, we can receive from asking. But finding and getting to know God, that's the reward for seeking. Finding and getting to know God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Prayer has this way of opening God's presence in a unique and very specific way. It takes humility to come to God in prayer. It takes a transparency. And there's an intimacy and conversation when we're in prayer than anything else. We have a way to seek and find him. Paul wrote about this in the book of Philippians. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to seek him. I want to know him. He even went so far to say, I want to share in his sufferings. I want to seek him and know him. The action of seeking is to be in search of, to discover. And I ask you, how much are you seeking God? Are you trying to discover who he is? Or do we at times, like me, come to him more with a list or frustration instead of seeking to know his heart? If I needed to get to know someone, I would sit down and have coffee and discover and talk about who they are and what they're like. That's what he wants us to do. Matthew 6, just back in verse 33, he tells us, seek first. There's that word again, seek, discover, find the kingdom of God first. Then these things will be added. Again, we want to skip to the last part because that's the culture and world that we live in. But he is in the seeking, and he asks us to put that first. So that prayer that I ask you about to frame this message with, Where are you in the asking and the seeking? Are you seeking God with all your heart, or are you leaning into society, to the quick fixes, to thinking, to giving up on praying because it hasn't come in an instantaneous kind of way? God isn't a vending machine, and He isn't bound to the time and space that we are. Some of my sweetest and most precious seasons with God were in the seeking and in the waiting, waiting for a test result, waiting for a diagnosis, waiting for a relationship to heal, comfort in grief. We truly find Him when we seek, and Jesus is saying, keep seeking. It's not a one-time thing. He wants us to keep seeking. He wants us to keep asking. And then additionally, He asks us to keep knocking. And the reward here is entering through the open door of God's goodness and perspective. Sometimes that will be on this earth. Sometimes it will be in eternity. But that's the knowledge of God. That's the reward of knocking. We get to peek in to God's perspective and His purpose and His goodness. That's the reward of knocking. Luke has the same account of this passage. If you want to turn over to Luke 11, it'll also pop up here. But Jesus tells an interesting story here in verses 5 through 8. Listen to this. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." Like, who needs bread in the middle of the night? I'm not sure. "Because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him." He's like, "Come, give me some bread so I can give it away." "Then he will answer from inside and say, 'Don't bother me. The door is locked and my kids are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I tell you, even though he wouldn't get up, he won't get up and give him anything. Because he is his friend, and because of his friend's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." And then Jesus says, so keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. He's saying, keep knocking. You know, don't you wish you were the homeowner in this story? Parents, you got the kids to bed. And here's this friend, you know, he just won't stop until you come. And Jesus is using that to compare it to prayer. He's saying, it's not an ask and then walk away. It's a keep on asking, keep on knocking. That's the persistence. That's the Emmett Smith kind of persistence that he's asking for. He values our persistence and our passion, especially when they align with his. Can you imagine the joy that he feels when we're praying for a friend who's going through a hard time, and we just keep asking God for healing and asking God for healing, and we join him in his purpose. That blesses his Father's heart. And we can have confidence in that. 1 John 5 tells us this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. It's this privilege that we have to knock at the door of heaven. It's our privilege, and he promises us that he will provide. God is seeking for us with all our heart and our soul and our mind to seek after him and to knock. Now, sometimes that knocking involves intercession or praying for other people. I believe sometimes God is wanting us to gather around and resonate, to knock on the door for those things. Praying for friends. Just this week, I have a friend. I mean, lots of little prayer texts and praying friends. It's been like the most wonderful decision in my life was to let other people join in that. And I had a dear, dear friend that I was praying for all throughout the night, Friday night, who was sitting by a hospital bed holding her brother's hand as he said goodbye to his wife who had overdosed on drugs. 15 hours she sat and held her brother's hand. All I could do was pray. I couldn't be there, but I could pray for comfort. I could pray for peace. And I know that God was inviting me to keep knocking. God, don't forget. God, remember, give them comfort. But at the same time, I had a friend that this weekend got to celebrate an answer to a 10-year-long prayer. And I got to celebrate and praise. He wants us to keep knocking. Friends that are in hardship, your kids that maybe aren't where they want to be with God, keep knocking. If you're at a place and you want, you're struggling with that whole infertility journey that is so exhausting, if you're seeking for healing or a diagnosis, or you have a sibling or a family member that's far away from God, you have to keep knocking. We don't stop knocking. We don't stop knocking for God to come and save our country. We don't keep knocking. We keep knocking for our leaders. He invites us to do that. And my friends, that is a privilege that we have, not an obligation. And so I ask you, who are you pleading with? Who are you interceding for? God implores us to pray. And praying for others is so important. A couple of years ago, when we studied prayer for the year, we talked about different ways to pray. And for me, writing my prayers down helps me. It helps me stay focused. It's really great to go back and look at those. That might be helpful for you. When I'm praying for other people, I downloaded the Echo app, and it's for prayer, and it helps me kind of remember praying for my kids on a regular basis, for my nieces and nephews, for those of many of you. It helps me remember. And whatever you need to do practically, don't stop knocking. Ask, seek, knock. And then we read on. And Jesus tells another story. This is in verse 9. Remember what he said. When a man among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father know how to give good gifts? Jesus made it clear here that he can be persuaded and appeased in prayer. And he's saying, you know what, if you people, like if you earthly fathers and mothers, you know, can even know the difference of giving bread instead of a stone or not giving a snake, how much more would your Father in heaven give you good things? He's saying, lean into that. Let it grow your faith. So the reward for perseverance, and when you're walking with Jesus, the reward for perseverance, besides our internal fellowship with God, is that our faith is grown. That's our reward for being persistent. In comparison to a human father, God is so much bigger and so much better. And he invites us on this process, on this journey, and we have to decide. He doesn't push us on it. We decide. But often our faith doesn't grow because we hit a roadblock. We get disappointed. A prayer doesn't answer. And life happens. You can hit some hard things in life that makes you doubt prayer. And I'm not here to say that prayer is simple. It's mysterious. It's something that I can't fully wrap my head around. But I know that God is inviting us into it. And part of it is in that journey. And sometimes I think we hesitate to pray boldly with confidence because God might not do it. We don't want to be disappointed. And the Bible is full of stories of people that prayed and cried out to God that didn't necessarily get exactly what they promised. Think about David. How many psalms are saying, God, will you forget me forever? Where are you? I'm so downcast. And seemingly God was anointed him as king and then left him. But what David wasn't seeing is what God was doing and preparing the way for him to be king. Think about Paul. We know that Paul prayed. He called it the thorn in his side, the physical ailment that kept him. It tripped him up all the time. It brought hardship on his life. And he prayed and asked, he pled for God to take it away. God didn't take the thorn away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected in the very weakness that you're praying about. Jesus himself prayed in the garden. God, if there's some way this cup could pass from me, but not my will, yours. And even though Jesus' prayer was not answered in that way, he brought salvation to you and to me. God proved faithful in all these situations, and regardless of where you are in the story of yours, he's already being faithful. You just may not see it right now. And I say this to myself too, because it's so easy to become discouraged. But God has proven, just like the offensive line is defending and putting people out of the way for Emmitt Smith to run through there, God's doing the same thing. And his offensive line is way better than the Seahawks. I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist. I've actually thought about applying for the job. Anyway, he's there to defend for us. In our prayers, he is fighting for us. And here's the big thing. He sees the end zone. Like, he sees all of it. When you're a running back, you can't necessarily look up all the time. You're looking at all the big people that are coming at you. He sees the big perspective. He has the path, and we just have to trust him with that. Faith fuels our perseverance. That's what fuels it, and it breeds perspective and answered prayer. And it's because of that journey of faith. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace." Our faith is increased by asking for it, by immersing ourselves in this book and knowing who God is as we seek him, and then also asking others to join with us in the prayer journey. And then Jesus concludes this part with that seems kind of out of the ordinary. He goes to what you and I might call the golden rule in verse 12, where he says, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do the same to them." And it might seem out of place here, but if you think about all that he's been talking about, it really doesn't, because persistent prayer, all the things he's talking about, ask, seek, knock, persevering, all those things develop our Christ-like character. So persistent prayer develops Christ-like character, so then we can say, hey, however I want to be treated, I'm going to treat somebody else. Because if we try to do that on our own, just as Kevin talked about last week when we were talking about judging, we can't do it in our own power. We can say, well, I'm going to just try really hard. But it's in that Christ-like character that we're able to say, I'm going to treat you like I want to be treated myself. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us." He's saying, imitate me. That is how you can love your neighbor first. It's not because it's a good rule and I'm going to put it on the mirror and I'm just going to try really hard to do it. It's because of our asking, our seeking, our knocking. Prayer is a means to grow our character as we strive to imitate Christ. Prayer is the means. It's not a magic box. It's not reading the Bible so many times. It's not being nice. It is through conversation and fellowship with God. It's that continual development. And as Kevin said earlier, if you're here or watching and you haven't started that journey, you're not in that journey, we want to be a part of that. We want to share the news, the good news, the gospel, that Jesus came and loves you just as much as he does us, and he paid a price for that. And if you haven't accepted that, you can put it on your Connect card, you can type it in on the chat. We want to join you in that journey and meet you where you are. John Piper sums this idea up so well, and I want to read it to you. Talking about the bigness of God in our prayers, listen to this. "When you pause to consider that God is infinitely strong and can do anything he pleases, he's infinitely righteous, so he always does what's right. He's infinitely good, so that everything he does is perfect. He's infinitely wise, so he always knows the strength. He always knows what's right and wrong. He's infinitely loving, so that in all his strength and righteousness and goodness and wisdom, he raises the eternal joy of his loved ones as high as it can be raised. When you pause to consider this, then the lavish invitation of this God to ask us to ask for good things with the promise that we will get them is unimaginably wonderful." He's saying, when you think about who God is, and he invites us to not just talk with him, but to ask him, to knock, it's unimaginable that we would have that access. Jesus is asking us to seek, knock with unwavering faith, and the result will be a life and a character of Christ that cannot be manufactured outside the presence of God, outside of our own strength. So Emmett Smith, he was tackled 40, 400 times. I can't even imagine what that guy's body feels like today. And every time he got up. And when I think about it and when I watch that, I think that's how I want to be in my faith. I want to keep getting back up and keep praying and seeking and knocking and believing, praying with confidence, not just like, okay, God, I'm just going to give it to you one more time, but really praying with confidence and knowing that God is working when we can't see. And then when life hits you with another blow, you get up and you do the same because you know that he said in here that he's a good, good father. And just like our father, us as grandparents, as parents, want to do what's best for our kids and to lavish them with love and gifts, he too wants that. Our persistent prayers produce earthly and kingdom reward while stretching our faith and growing us as disciples. So go back to those prayers that I ask you to frame this message on. The challenge that you're seeking, the job loss, the health challenge, the financial crisis, the relationship brokenness, the addiction, whatever that is, are you giving it the kind of try of the running back running through defenders, or are you just kind of half-heartedly praying, half-heartedly believing? What would it look like if you were running through defenders and experiencing the power and the presence of God? That's my prayer for you today. I want to give you a few steps to take because I don't want you to just take it in and not do anything. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to assess what I would call your prayer stance. Like, how are you doing with the asking, the seeking, the knocking? How are you doing with that? And take a look at what that looks like. And then I would just invite you to make an addition or an improvement to your prayer. Like if you are with us today and you really haven't been praying, that maybe your first step would just be talking to God like you would someone else, or asking someone to help you with that. Maybe you just need to be more disciplined about it. Maybe you need to start writing it down. Whatever, take one step towards that kind of persistence. And lastly, I would ask you to invite someone to share the journey with you. It helps with accountability. It is a sweet, sweet time to join in prayer with others and to be able to see God work in others' lives as he is in yours. And I would just invite you to ask somebody to share that journey. Would you pray with me? God, I am so grateful that in the vastness of who you are, you invite us to such an intimate, precious thing of conversation with you. And God, you didn't just tell us to pray. You ask us to do it in a bold way. And Father, forgive us for being half-hearted. Forgive us for being lazy. Forgive us for forgetting. Grow in us that desire to seek you and to find you and to experience the reward of a persistent prayer life. I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.